Beautiful song. This is Labor Day weekend. Thank you for the use of your pen. I did a little research and looked through some things, and I thought, well, I'll do a sermon a little bit on Labor Day, and it kind of ties in with the lesson too. So, Scripture, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. See if I can get my... Whatever you do, work heartily. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man. Right. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ for... Anyway, that we can read 5 also. For the... Well, no, that's fine. But that's the verse, and we're going to hit on that. And I don't know if this is quite... I want us to think about the song, as I was thinking about it, and I got some information and kind of looked at some other sermons and stuff, they brought this up. And you ever think about the 7 dwarfs? Hi-ho, hi-ho, off to work I go. And the other thing is, I kind of listened to it and then kind of went back, and others have, you know, and heard this too. But there are also who say that the dwarfs are really singing hi-ho, hi-ho, it's home, from work we go. So it's kind of hard to really say what they are singing, but it's a thought. So anyway, just to kind of get started off, the second option also seems as more realistic, because it looks like they are ending their day from work and are happy to be going home. I simply do not know which is which, and when I listen closely, I still can't figure it out. Anyway, that's my introduction for today. Message. It's Labor Day weekend. It's the weekend so many people celebrate. Mostly kids look forward to the day because there is no school, which we didn't really have school this year. There's, you know, some are starting, some aren't. Forward to some offices are closed, but lots others are working today, just like another day at work. You may be singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, off to work I go. Some go to work, and what's the other thing? I-O, off to work I go. So, you know, it's work, God created it. He gave it to us. And let's learn some more about it. I thought that was kind of interesting in some of the other stuff, you know, that we think and stuff. You know, when we think about Labor Day, it's a major holiday. It's the changing of seasons, which it is. I mean, it's great, you know. Summer, the fall, we get to see the trees change color and everything. I'm getting nervous up here now. We're tired of doing both. Bear with me. It kind of marks when summer ends and fall begins. It's when we can no longer wear our white color outfits and the dark colors come out. Even though we celebrate Labor Day, we don't decorate the house like we do for other seasons and holidays. We don't have a Labor Day tree, and we don't give labor gifts. Lots of people don't go to church today because they are enjoying a weekend away. But then we also get visitors, too, that come. So, you know, it kind of goes both ways, but it is you know, a lot of people, this is the last weekend before school, before, you know, the weather changes. There's a lot of stuff they've got to do. So people can get kind of busy. Yet Labor Day is an important day for us to remind about work, about what work means to us and what it should mean in our relationship with Christ. The first time we hear the word work in the Bible comes with God doing the work. We're going to take a progression and end with who we are supposed to be with the work we do. Genesis 2, 1 through 3, let's read. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now, when many of us look at work, we look at it as a necessary evil. But, yeah, we do gotta work. I wish, you know, anyway. But that's not how work was supposed to be. I believe when God was creating the heavens and the earth, when he was dividing the sky from the land and the waters from the mountains, and when God was creating the animals, I believe God was having a blast. It was not the drudgery of work that we think of. It was fun. It was exciting. It was passion and action filled. I believe there was holy laughter and excitement between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There goes my brain. I got it. You know, I see God in this happy joy, you know. The original plan was for us to work the land. We see that a few verses later, we're going to go to Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep it. The word we read in Genesis 2:15 is the same word for work we saw when God was working. This is actually a soft word for work. Other Bible versions don't say to work the land. They say phrases like tend to the land or cultivate the land. You see, the point of work was not to be painful in our lives. It was not to be a punishment or make us suffer. That's how it was intended. But then sin entered the world and everything changed, yes, including work. Yeah. Now we see what God said to Adam about work in Genesis 3:17. And to Adam God said, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Now most people believe that the dwarfs are saying, Gotta get my notes right here. And then verse 18, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, face, you shall eat bread. Work no longer seemed to so pleasant. No longer was there a thought of cultivating a weedless and thornless garden. You know, it's kind of interesting because you think about it. So many times, sin brought such painful things into this world, into our life, work, drudgery, you know, but we also have to look at it in a positive way, too. We'll keep going. And now the garden was filled with thistles and thorns. The word pain, the word, only occurs three times in the Old Testament. It occurs when God was describing childbirth for Eve in the previous verse, when God said in Genesis 3:15, I will surely multiply your pain in childbirth. It also occurred in Genesis 5:29 when Noah was born And he was to take away the pain and toil of work. So many seem like a long-winded approach to Labor Day message, but we need to know where the labor, the toil, and the hardship or work comes in. This is why we struggle with work. It came about through sin, and what should we have been sin and what should have been joy became a painful endeavor. So, with all of that in mind, how are we to respond when we are supposed to work? When I say work, I'm referring to being a volunteer. I'm also talking about playing in the band. Or performing in a play or musical. It's about our approach to playing sports. In the end, it's all about how we approach living life on a daily basis. In Galatians 3, Paul wrote these words about the things we do. Galatians 23, we just read them, our opening verse. Whatever we do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for man. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord. I love the way Paul writes, because at times he speaks in specifics. But when he gets pretty broad, whatever you do, work heartily. Literally, what Paul is telling us is, whatever you do, put all your heart into it. In some ways, it's that simple, yet that complicated. When it is that you are doing in life, whatever you are doing in life, are working, retired, school, do you volunteer? What do you do? Can you put your heart into it? That's what Paul is telling us. Don't forget the motion. Don't go through the motions. That's what he tells the church in Ephesus. Paul is really talking to slaves, but what he said applies to all of us as well. That as we are doing our work, we should do it not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, Ephesians 5:5-6. Don't give eye service. That means you only do work when you're being watched. How many people do that? Too many people don't like their jobs. You know, it's sad, too many of us don't. We just go through the eye service, we go through the lip service, we go through the motions. And it's hard. I know it's easy, because sometimes we just feel we need a job and we just got to do it to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. They don't like school or even what they're doing as a volunteer. Wouldn't that be sad as a volunteer? You're volunteering and you really don't like it, but you're just doing it? So what do we do? We go through the motions. Our heart is not in what we do. But Paul is telling us in Colossians and Ephesians that whatever we do, put our heart into it, everything. We give it all we have. We are not out to please people. We aren't out just to get a paycheck, get our earthly reward. Although a paycheck does help pay the bills, but that's not really the reason we're working. It shouldn't be. The reason you're working is to glorify the Lord in whatever we do. When you're in high school and in college, the goal is to find a profession that ultimately pleases God. How many of us take it that seriously? How many of us really, you know, when, or do we just, you know, do the worldly thing. Let's say we date, you know, to get somebody, you know, pregnant, and then you know, and you get married, and we go through it, and we just find we don't take life really as seriously as sometimes we should. Can you hear me? And, you know, it's hard because life, sometimes, you know, I have four kids and none of them are in the church, and it's sad. And, you know, you look at your own life and you think about things and you go, man. And then you, as you grow and learn, and I've studied scripture and I pray for them and keep praying for them, you look at it and you go, man, sometimes I was such a hypocrite, hypocrisy, you know. And you wonder, will God ever change? Will I see it in my lifetime? You know? And you pray, and it hurts. Because sometimes we have to look at our faults and things that we did in our lives. If you are pleasing God, you are not going to be pleasing as well. It may not be easy. It may be difficult. But if you are following Christ, you will be serving Him, and you will be finding more joy than you ever imagined. Sometimes in school, you have to make mind course adjustments when you start majoring in. It is not what you ultimately do. In school, sometimes our major, sometimes what we do, we need to really stop and think about it and pray about it and decide, is this what I want to do? And so there's lots of people. Have you ever heard people that college is their profession? I think I knew somebody, I was trying to think as I was reading through this and trying to, I knew somebody, I think they went to college for like 15, 20 years just trying to figure out what they wanted to do, and they never did figure it out. And I think they just ended up getting some flunky job or something, but it was interesting. My point is, I had to go through major changes in my life, and that takes risk. I never thought I could, but ultimately, it was about serving Christ, not me, and not others in this world. And that's not always easy. You know, it's like I was telling, I forget her name.
Karen.
I was telling her a little bit of my life story, and it's not hard. I mean, it's hard. Sometimes we have to go through the crisis, and sometimes, you know, I'm a little stubborn like the Israelites and get hit up beside the head with a 2x4. And not always. I used to be. God's worked with me a great deal in my life since then. But, you know, that's what it's about. It's about, do I want to change? Do I want change in my life? Do I want to follow Christ? Yeah, I do. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you may lose friends. You may even have to let family members go because they're so toxic or whatever to make that change in our life to live for Christ. Because sometimes we just want to be people pleasers. But when we do that, we are not glorifying God. We are simply playing it safe, and we are not being fulfilled in who we are called to be. And Paul says we should work as bondservants of Christ. That phrase comes from the Greek word for slave. To be a bondservant of Christ is not meant to be a demeaning phrase. It is to simplify believers who willingly live under Christ's authority as his devoted followers. So as we go into the workplace, remember later today or tomorrow, which I know none of us do, but anyway, I picked out some of this from, or you go back to school, you participate in whatever you practice in. You volunteer in whatever you are volunteering in. You do it willingly because you are seeking to bring honor and glory to Christ. If I have pleased him, then at the end of the day, I know all is good. I have no worries. This is why Paul talks about work and relationship in many of these of his letters. And Paul was pretty tough on the topic too. When he was writing to the church in Thessalonica, he wrote those words, which sound pretty harsh. For even when we were with you, we would give you the command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. I like this. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Okay, now this is going to get better yet. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Amen. You know, I got to bring this up today. How many people, and I'm not saying that, you know, today have chosen, we had the choice to opt out and take unemployment. And there's a lot of people that have, and look how it's affected our economy. Look how it's affected things in this world. They've taken the easy way out. And it's sad. I admire people. And I meet people in my job and in my suppliers and stuff that they actually, you know, they're getting tired because they're pulling, you know, they may need 4 or 5 employees extra in businesses that I go to, and people, and they have loyal people that know this. If you don't work, you don't eat, you don't live, you don't survive. Eventually, what's going to happen to these people when things get cut off? Yep. You know, it's sad. Hopefully I'm not speaking too much there out of line, but it's that same image that Paul was giving earlier. Do what you have been called to do. If you won't do your work, then those people who are Christ followers are not being given hand. Let's see. If you won't do your work, then those people who are Christ followers are not to be giving handouts. Ouch. Is that real? You know, you think about that. Don't give a handout. He's pretty blunt. If someone is not willing to work, don't give them your hand. Or hard-earned food. I think some would call that tough love. But here was the problem as well. Those people who weren't working with their hands were working with their mouths. You know what I mean? They were disrupting the balance of life in the church or the community or gossiping or whatever. There were a lot of watercolor conversations going on. Lots of breaks during the workday. Another cup of coffee. Another bathroom break. Another donut to eat. They're meddling in the life of others. They're spreading rumors and stories of others. Literally, the phrase to be a busybody means you're meddling and going beyond proper boundaries. Where you don't belong, and you're fixated on what others are doing instead of doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. It's not what we don't have. It's not that we don't have compassion for someone who is hurting and unable to work. Instead, Paul is talking about the person who refuses to work and instead of meddling in others' businesses. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, it's not saying that we shouldn't help people, but if people are out there trying to work, trying to make a living, And, you know, maybe they have, who knows what's going on in their life. You know, try to help them the best you can. Maybe they need a little more education. Maybe you could give them pointers or whatever, or help them. Maybe they can't read quite well. So, hey, come to my house. I'll help you read or spell or whatever, you know, and help people. That's what Christ did. It's not saying, you know, that we totally don't help anybody. But people that are trying to be honest and everything, let's give them a good shot at it. Paul is talking about the person who refuses to work and instead of meddling in other people's businesses. As we move to the close this morning, the word from Paul are clear from Galatians 3:23-24. Whatever we do, work with your heart, as for the Lord, not for men. You are serving the Lord Christ. If you're not happy with your work, then find something else that God wants you to do. You know, really pray about it. But keep working where you're doing. Just don't quit. But, you know, keep working. Keep, you know. With what you're doing as a volunteer, if you're struggling with serving Christ, then maybe Christ wants you to be doing something different. Or maybe you're moving through a season of life where you are being tested a little, where you are being pruned, and that's not always easy. It's painful, but in the end, it leads to a new growth in your spirit. We are serving Christ. Keep that in mind when it's not as much fun as you would like it to be. Seek to make a difference in the kingdom for Christ. I'm sorry, I lost my... Seek the difference in the kingdom. Okay, for Christ. Give... When you're frustrated, can you give the frustration to Christ? When you think someone is getting paid more than you think they should, can you give it to Christ? Can you give others a reason to see Christ in you? Can you go into the world and make a difference for Christ, even when you're not lovingly, overly happy with your situation? Remember, you don't have to be happy, but you can still show the joy of Christ within you. In the end, that takes prayer. It takes a life that is firmly balanced by our relationship with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit placed within us by Christ. You know, this is something I added. I don't even know the author, but I thought it was kind of interesting. I like what Stuart Brisky, I don't know how to pronounce the last name, an author and a pastor, shared about a conversation he had with a woman. He asked her, "What do you do?" She replied, "I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, very skilled, distinguished as a machine operator." Amen. Isn't that how we should look at work? Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'm a disciple of Christ, of Jesus Christ, very skilled, distinguished as a machine operator. Mm-hmm. Isn't that how we should think of our work, everything we do? Anyway, Labor Day, enjoy it. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that our father, Martha and our dad, he used to work, and then we grew up in a family, both parents, they worked. And, you know, it came out into us, I just love to work. Mm-hmm. I do. Outside, you know, of the home. And yeah. I just love to do that.
Yeah.
Mingling with people, doing different things.
That's, I know.
If you don't like to work and you're out there, you're miserable.
Yeah. I know, I love my work so much. I'm actually kind of a workaholic, and I have to learn how to control it. And it does get me in trouble because I can be out there on my machine and just enjoying life and
zone out.
Yep. That's why I say, you know, it's easy to put in 12, 15 hours and not think anything about it. But the one thing I do really, really, I praise God so for. One thing when getting, after I, anyway, got remarried, it's one thing I asked my wife. I says, I'm a workaholic. And I asked her, I said, you willing to come out and work with me and help me? And boy, she does. I couldn't. There's, I have hired guys that help me too, but sometimes she's out there quite often with me, and I sure appreciate it. I praise God every day.
Amen. So. I tell him to, hey, I need attention.
Yeah, we have fun. It's an enjoy. But, yes,
so
ma'am.
I'm going to go from the other side of that coin. I had a job for 14 years at a laboratory that was owned by an Adventist.
Wow.
And it was just such a blessing to have it. He wasn't just Adventist at church and at work. He was such a joy to work for. I worked as administrative assistant, so I saw every decision that he made, and always he would put the employees above himself every time. And for 14 years, I saw this man run this business, and his whole attitude was, this is a good place for 12 people to make a good living. It wasn't, this is going to make me rich. You know, I found a good place for these people to make a good living. And that was probably one of the biggest blessings I ever received. I thought, if I could ever be that boss, you know, what a blessing he was. Even most of the people there were not Adventists, you know. But he just lived that way.
Yeah. I know it's nice when we meet customers and stuff and she's out helping and there's a lot of people because they'll, you know, and I'm, because we just kind of always made this thing. We always got to ask please and thank you. That's just something we've always, you know, that something in our house, we've got to do that, please and thank you. And we'll be out and meet customers and she'll be helping and a lot of people, they just go, man, you guys are so polite to each other. And I've had people say that, and it's just respect. I mean, that's part of it, and that's what it's about. And I know when I have employees, and I have one, and it's, I always am so concerned, I got to make sure that, you know, budgets and everything goes right so I can keep that person paid, because that's what's important. That's what God does, you know. And so we have to do, and that's great, you know. There's, I know people that have, just the opposite of you, that have worked for Adventists, that's a tyrant. and you know what it is. And sometimes we just have to understand, you know, work is something God gave us after sin. It was even before sin, but it was to be a happy joy thing. And so we need to look at it as a happy joy thing. So anyway, let me close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for the work that you've given us, that we, whether it's volunteer or we're in school or whatever we're doing, that we just do it for you, Lord. We're not doing it for our own pleasure, but we're doing it to be an example to other people so that they can see the difference in us and that we can spread your gospel when we work, when we play, whatever we're doing. That we're doing it all for you, Lord, and we ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.